is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Doc's Freedom Files.
Sweet Pea and I recently watched the Cold War movie classic Red Dawn again. The film still holds up well, decades after it was made, and there are still lessons to be learned from it. It was filmed in 1984, an era when people were more worried about winding up in Soviet concentration camps than our own FEMA versions. I don't think I'm going to give away any plot spoilers here, but if you're one of the two or three people who've never seen this movie, tune out now. The film's plot centers around a communist invasion of the United States by the then Soviet Union and their Cuban client state. A group of small-town high school students avoids capture by fleeing to the mountains and become anti-communist guerrilla fighters. They then proceed to wreak mayhem on the occupiers of their community. At the time of its production, the film was widely condemned by the left as over the top and depicting an implausible scenario. But if one makes allowances for a bit of Hollywood excess, the core of the film is essentially plausible. Insurrection is basically a young man's game, and throughout history, many insurrectionists, including those in our own American Revolution, were in their teens when they took up arms. It is also true that small guerrilla forces can vex much larger regular armies. This has been proven many times in recent history, with the U.S. experience in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Soviet experience in Afghanistan, the Vietnam War, and even the experience of the Axis armies fighting Eastern European communist guerrillas in World War II. At one point in the movie, the mayor's son, a childhood friend of most of the group, proves to be a traitor. He is discovered to have smuggled a tracking device into camp, allowing Soviet troops to discover their location and then mount an attack. The Patriot guerrillas successfully defend against the attack and capture one of the Soviet soldiers. In the next scene, the Patriots execute their traitorous comrade and the captured Soviet soldier. The camera then shows the guerrillas mounting their horses and slowly riding away, with the bodies of the Soviet soldier and their traitorous erstwhile friend lying in the foreground. It is one of the film's more somber moments. "I don't think I could do that," I said to Sweet Pea as the scene ended. "Why not?" she asked, with more than a hint of surprise. "Honey," I replied, "I could never ride a horse worth a damn." This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, I managed to push all the right buttons, I think, and get back on here. Welcome to the shooting bench. It is the 19th of November, and it's a Monday. I hope everybody had a good weekend. We actually worked most of the weekend this weekend, which is kind of what we do most of the time. We're trying to get some stuff caught up so we can take off a little time during Thanksgiving. Got a couple of trips and stuff we got to take care of here over the next little while, so we're trying to get caught up on all this stuff so we can afford to take that time off. So let me see who. Well, let me slip over here real quick and let me grab this and put it right there, and then let me run over here to the chat room and see what's going on here. Looks like NM Glock joined us, and Amy Minnie said she likes your stories and stuff too. And so did Yakima Glock like the This Day in History. So for my money, I think you ought to just kind of do about the same things you did before. Seems to be going over well tonight. All right, let's look here. Copper made it. And NM Glock, let me take them by the numbers here. AZ Bound, Copper, and Desert Rat. Desert Rat's always pretty quiet, but he's starting to come back and be here more often. Glad to have you here, brother, all of you. And Minnie and Mountain Shooter and NM Glock and Yakima Glock and Tebow and Anonymous. Mountain Shooter, we got some news for your area here tonight. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But for right now, let's move this right here. This was, you know, we've heard of several stories, several towns where cops have either been fired or walked away or something like that. And Seattle is starting to have a lot of cops walk away. They're looking for jobs in neighboring towns, neighboring agencies there. The mayor, Jenny Durkin, got in trouble with the police, or got the police mad at her when she compared the Port of Seattle officers to mall cops. And none of the law enforcement community, not just the Port Authority cops, but all over town, they didn't take that very well. Didn't go over too good. Kind of like I'll just leave that alone. Amy's hollering there, hollering, careful. So I won't say that. Anyway, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I thought I said something about Spokane. I guess not. All right. So I've got a lot of stories to go through, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them here. Some of them is going to require a little bit more time than others. I guess you guys probably have seen where the, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I haven't heard anything else about it, but a judge, a federal judge here Friday, has granted CNN's request for a court order that would temporarily reinstate Jim Acosta to the White House press, reinstate his press pass. Now, the guy was an ass. He's arrogant. He's rude. I don't know how anybody kept from slapping the taste out of his mouth while he was there. But there's no requirement. You know, freedom of press, I get all that. But there's still not a requirement to allow him in there. He peed in his post-toasties, and he's not allowed there anymore. No, he can't go in the room anymore. He got his press pass. Well, that's what I'm talking about, is the judge has ordered him to reinstate it. And but I haven't heard anything else about it. They've kept it kind of quiet, so we'll have to see what's happening here. But it ticks me off that a judge would do this, because, okay, I get the whole First Amendment thing. I'm well aware of that and quite on board with it. But just because you're rude and get kicked out doesn't mean that you have the right to continue to stay there. They're not taking away his freedom of press or his freedom of speech. They're just taking away his privilege of being in that room. So he can be out in the hallway with a 100 other reporters. He just crying because he can't be in there and stir everything up like he has been. So, of course, the whole Constitution thing is kind of gone now anyway, so I guess we'll just have to take matters in our own hands here and restore it. Across the nation right now, not here, but in a whole bunch of, not in California and not in Hawaii, but a whole bunch of places, gas is under $2 a gallon right now. There were some places that were $1.98. And we're about, there's one, $1.99. Now, diesel's still $3.39 at this place. How crazy is that? I remember when diesel was and still is, but they've got more additives and stuff in it now than they used to. But it was a byproduct, and it was dirt cheap. Now, when gas was, I don't remember what, we didn't really see diesel signs at the gas stations when I was a kid because none of the gas stations sold diesel. You know, there was maybe a few of the bigger ones that had room for trucks to get in, but there were zero pickups or cars that run on diesel. Well, I won't say zero. There was a few Mercedes Benz, I guess, or whatever they are around, but there wasn't any in the town I grew up in. But now it's a regular, you know, every third car you see on the highway, a third truck, you know, pickup runs on diesel. So I don't know exactly what diesel was, but I can remember gasoline when it was 19 cents. And I'm assuming diesel was probably about half of that. And it was always so cheap until it got to a point where cars had to have it. You know, when they were just trying to get rid of it, trying to make a little money on it, instead of, you know, dumping it or burning it like they do a lot of other byproducts, they were selling it awfully cheap. Now they got all these cars and trucks running on it, and they've seen an opportunity to, well, we'll splash a little bit of that chemical and a little bit of that additive and a little bit of that supplement and a little bit of that color, and we'll call it expensive stuff. And it worked. Gasoline here is about $2.89, I think, depending on which station you go to. So we're not participating right now in the $1.99 stuff, but I guess good on the people that's doing it. Now, I know California, particularly Southern California, a lot of that's $5 and $6. Yes, for real. Hey, I want to say something here about these. I am so sick and tired of everybody posting these pictures of burnt-out cars and leveled homes and having the trees still standing around them. You know, it's been doing that ever since fire was invented or discovered. The people that believe this, it's just amazing to me that there's that many stupid people out there.
Talking about direct energy weapons and all this stuff. And I keep seeing them and keep seeing them. I just saw one here, and it said, steel melts. There was a car sitting there, it was burnout. And some really, really idiotic meme maker had this car sitting there, and there's all these little rivulets of what is supposed to be molten steel running away from the hull of this car. It's obviously aluminum if you look at it, and it's obviously photoshopped if you look at it again. It has absolutely nothing to do with the car that's in there. And for the trees standing, you know, that just happened. It's happened. I think I talked about this the other day anyway, so I won't need to spend any time on it. But, hey,
Nan says it's 469 in needles. Wow. That's too much. Yeah, and these,
you know, a lot of these trees are going to die in a few months. You know, a few weeks or whatever, because they got so hot. They're showing green right now because if they didn't burn up right then a lot of them still going to die. We saw that in every fire that's ever happened out there, whether it's cars or houses or whatever.
So anyway, I don't want to spend any more time on that. I just wish people quit being so stupid. I guess some of you are familiar with the red flag law in Maryland, and it's not the only state that there are a few red flag provisions in this law that just passed in Washington. I'm not sure what the status of that is right now. But in Maryland, I think Maryland is also where they went to confiscate some guns from someone that fell under this red flag law, and they wound up killing him. I didn't read the whole story on that. I don't know all the details. But since this red flag law went into it, what the red flag law means, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it simply means that if your ex-wife or your mother, your brother, your sister, your boss, your secretary, put a lady down the street, whatever, decides they don't like you anymore, and they want you to go to jail. They want to make things so tough on you that it's unbelievable. Well, they just simply pick up the phone and say, hey, this guy over here is dangerous. I've watched him do this and that and the other. I've heard him say these things, and he's got guns, and he scares me, and I think he's out of control. And they will come and confiscate your guns until you can prove that you're not. And since this went into effect last month, there's been 114 warrants issued across the state of Maryland. That is astounding to me, absolutely unbelievable to me. But it's just, like I said, Constitution pretty much gone, as Joseph Smith said, it would hang by a thread before it was saved, if it's going to be saved. So we'll see what happens. As far as a little bit of gun-related stuff we have tonight, there was a huge explosion in Romania, in the I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It looks like Cougar, C-U-G-I-R, arms factory in Romania. And they said that this will likely affect the flow of AK rifles, especially the Wassers, Wasser 10s, and the pistol variants, what did they call the pistols, the Draco AK pistols. all of those coming to the U.S., the U.S. commercial market. So the, for those of you familiar with the, or not familiar with it as far as that goes, the acronym that they use for this plan is ROMARM, Romanian Arms, something or other. It's ROMARM. And we bought lots and lots and lots of those when we were in business still. And, it's located actually in Transylvania. And there was a fire and an explosion there. And there was, what's funny about this though, it says in this explosion, this fire, it says killed was an unidentified 50-year-old woman. So I have to ask, how in the hell did you know she was 50? If we, an unidentified, was there, did she have it tattooed on her forehead or, you know, if you saw her driver's license, they should have identified her. How'd you know she was 50 years old? Killed was an unidentified 50-year-old woman. Okay. Took firefighters 2 hours to extinguish it. The factory first opened in 1799. If you can believe it. I had no idea. It currently employ, well, not now since it blew up, but it did currently employ 1,000 people and has obviously been a leader in the production of these Kalashnikov-style rifles in Eastern, rifles and handguns in Eastern Europe. And ROMARM, or these, this Romanian arms outfit, has Century Arms is the importer that almost, I think, exclusively deals with this this factory. So anything from Century. Now, it's funny. Right now, there are a number of kits out there you can buy for an AR-style gun. Good quality AR-style guns that you can, or rifles that you can buy for around $400 or a little less. I never thought that I would see the day when you could buy two ARs for the price of one AK. And that's almost where they're at right now. Thought that was a little bit strange. Hold on just a sec. Sorry about that little dead air there. So, anyway.
If you are in a position to get another AR or two, now would be the time. I really don't foresee them getting any cheaper than they are right now. But right now, you can buy kits and a stripped lower, and a lot of these kits come with lower parts kits and furniture, you know, stocks and everything already. All you have to have is a stripped lower, which are, you know, $50 or $60, and this $350, $300 kit. And if you're smart enough to put it together or get somebody to put it together for you, you've got a complete AR for less than $400. A good quality AR. The ones that we're looking at today have Magpul furniture with it and everything, which I could not believe. But anyway, so these gun grabbers, as all of you probably know, I hope you know, they're going to get their heels dug in here, and they're not turning loose anytime soon. In some regards, Trump did well in his midterm elections as far as who got what here. But in the short term here, in the next 2 years, I think our Second Amendment battle is going to be ferocious. And as soon as they start introducing this legislation, especially if it looks like they get some sponsors, it looks like it might pass, you're going to see these $300 ARs go right back up to $1,000. Especially if it does pass and they get it going, they will almost certainly get a veto-proof assault weapons ban going. And if they do, magazines and ARs and AKs are going to go through the roof again. AKs are going to be high anyway because this plant blew up, and are going to be even worse when You know, there was a time, when was it, 2012, 13? I guess 11, 12, 13. We were paying $600 and $700 for a case. We sold a lot of them for $800, $900 or a little more in some cases. And I think we're going to see that again for two off alone.
Okay. Well, we still got a lot of stories to do. Let's see if I can find another one here to do before. Yeah, oh wait, I'm going to take a little break and then we'll do the other one when I get back. Stand by.
I'll be back.
Back. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let's get this finished up here. The let me give you a little update on this fire that's going on in California. This is a little bit hard for us to grasp out here how bad this thing really is. I say this fire, there's several. I think one of them's under control now and another one started, but we actually had a family move right here to Vernon from Paradise. About the time this was happening, the dad got a job out here somewhere for whatever reason, kind of coincidental. And I think he was already out here, and I don't remember if it was the mother and daughter, or daughter and grandmother, or what it was, still in California. But anyway, their house was one of the many, many, many that was completely and utterly, totally destroyed. They lost every single thing they had except what they were wearing. And one thing I'll have to say, that's a quick, easy move when that happens, but it's unfortunate. You know, it's a lot of the stuff can be replaced, but everybody has something that's irreplaceable. Pictures, documents, records of some kind, you know, stuff that you've saved from old, you know, forefathers, family members, you know, whatever. And so these people have nothing. And when they found out that little girl was coming, a bunch of girls from the church got together, and they went out and instead of going through their stuff and finding some stuff that fit her so they'd have clothes when she got here, they all pooled their money together and went out and bought her some stuff so there wouldn't be a chance to say, you know, to run across one of these girls at school and say, oh, yeah, I remember that sweater. I gave that to you. So, you know, that little girl doesn't need that right now. So they bought her some new stuff. And they're doing okay. I actually saw them in our church this Sunday, yesterday. Really nice people. I don't know how they're doing so well right now. Anyway, as of 3 or 4 hours ago, the number of dead reported there just in the campfire is 77. No, that was this morning. It was 77, Monday morning. And instead it increased by one, 67 of the 77 have been tentatively identified. I heard these people talking on there and they said, well, we've already talked about that. The fire was going faster than the people they couldn't outrun it. And it says a total of 993 people are still reported missing. That number climbs regularly. It says now there's 1,318 people accounted for, which is an increase of 604 from Saturday. So they had a good weekend accounting for people there. I can't believe the numbers here. The deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California history. The campfire has destroyed more than 15,000 structures, 11,700 of which were homes. That's just astounding to me. But anyway, okay, we talked about Jerry Brown being responsible for at least part of it. Of course, the feds are responsible for their part. But, you know, just President Trump went out there and was talking to Jerry. Jerry Brown was standing beside him there, and he looked like somebody slapped him away from the table for farting. He had pretty sheepish look in there. But anyway, 2 days after Trump left, they've started logging again in California. And I think this is, I thought about this when I watched these guys logging.
there has been so little logging going on in California and in a lot of other states affected by this too.
Of course, they're still doing quite a bit in Washington, Idaho, Montana, and here in Arizona, but not like they used to.
And I've got to thinking, it was since I worked in the woods for quite a while, and two different, what would you call it, two different industries, I guess. One time we were cutting cedar rails, splitting cedar rails, you know, finding big cedar trees and splitting them into the little rails they make fences out of. Now, that's a lot of work. And the other time I was, a couple of different times, I was actually logging, you know, falling trees and decking them up and taking them and selling them. And I got to thinking when I saw these pictures here, I said, man, you know how dangerously close it is to this industry, this is a, to just disappearing. This is a, and I don't, it probably doesn't matter to anybody else but me, but I, you know, it was a, loggers are kind of like roughnecks and cowboys and truck drivers and, you know, iron workers or whatever. I just hate to see that go away and future generations of young men not have the opportunity to participate. And I loved working in the woods, and it's good, manly work. I liked it a lot. And I still have the opportunity once in a while when we go out here and with the church or something and cut firewood and bring it in to give to some of the less fortunate people during the winter. And I still have the opportunity to go and follow some trees and stuff once in a while. Haven't completely lost my touch on that. Still do pretty good at it. It's not as simple as they make it out to be on cartoons and on TV and stuff. It's not just a matter of hanging your chainsaw and then cutting it until it falls. It's not that way at all. It's a much more, I don't know if scientific is the right word. I guess it's kind of scientific that you know, you pay attention to which way the wind's blowing. You pay attention to how heavy the tree is on one side. Sometimes a tree will grow in real heavy, dense timber, and one side gets a lot more sun than the other, and consequently it's a little heavier on that side. If you're falling it that direction, that's okay. Felling it is the proper term, I guess. But if you're falling it that direction, that's good. If you're falling it the other direction, towards the light side, that's a little harder, and that's when your falling wedges and stuff like that come into play. So it's an art, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. Of course, it can be awfully deadly too if you make a mistake and do the wrong thing, particularly if you do what they call a barber chair. A barber chair will kill you dead if you're not. If you're not careful. Another thing, when you're driving falling wedges into those trees, into the cut, try to force them over, you have to kind of develop a rhythm there. If you don't, you get the wrong rhythm running up that tree, and sometimes you can have the top break out of that tree, especially if there's a little dead area right up in the top. That vibration going up the tree will knock the top of that will come out of there, and it'll come right straight down to the trunk of that tree. And a good many people have been killed or seriously injured by that piece of dead stuff coming out of the top of a tree or something when that, from driving fallen wedges in there. So I just saw that picture of the guy says, California, try something new. More logging. Environmentalists in the timber industry, after long butting heads, increasingly agree that cutting trees to thin forest is vital to reducing fire danger. We already knew that. And we have known that for many, many years.
And we tried to explain it to these morons from the start. But we have to wait until an entire frickin' city burns down and 80 people dead and 1,000 missing before, oh, well, let's try logging and let's see if that helps any. Damn right it'll help. Matter of fact, they're just figured that out here in Arizona just a few years ago. Because when the, what was it, the Rodeo Tennis Guy fire come through here, it probably would have burned Sholo down if it hadn't have been for the Indians south of us here, the White Mountain Apache. They really manicure their forest. They do a great, great job of managing their forest. It looks good. And a fire gets into that, it's pretty easy to control. Even when it's dry, you can kind of get ahead of it. When it crosses the line between the reservation and forest, then it takes off, goes faster, does what this Paradise fire did. So fortunately, in some places here, it was because of the reservation and their extremely well manicured forest that kept Sholo and Pine Top from burning up. It was still an awful bad fire. It was almost a half million acres. So none of these fires in California have gotten near that acreage yet. But of course, then I don't think there was. I don't believe anybody died in the Rodeo Tennis Guy fire. There were some buildings lost and stuff, but. Did they in the rodeo fire? Amy says she thinks there may have been some firefighters lost. There was some firefighters lost there that wasn't in the rodeo fire, but there was some lost here since we've been here. There was 9 of them killed over by Young in another fire. And that's a whole other story, but that was a bad deal. But... yeah, Rolex, I agree that the mass under the trees posed the biggest problem, but if you get rid of some of those trees, you know, if it's, you know, 20 or 30 feet between trees, a lot of that stuff can just go ahead and burn and it doesn't hurt anything. But when those trees are close together and you got a bunch of dead stuff under there and everything, it causes a mess. But anyway, I was real glad to see this deal in California where they're going to start logging here. It says, current fires are hitting populated areas along the edge of the forest and brushlands, including the 142,000-acre camp fire in Northern California's Butte County, now ranks the most deadly and destructive in state history. Then there's the 98,400-acre Woolsey fire, which I think is pretty much under control now, and I hear there was another one or two started recently. And lo and behold, even on this one, on this story, it shows that exact same picture that is all over the internet. It shows this area, this subdivision, whatever it is, and almost every house is completely leveled. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks like there's 5 of them in this picture that looks completely untouched. But there's 30 of them that are a foot tall. Terrible thing. Unbelievable. Well, let's move on here. This was a neat deal. This hasn't happened with any of our presidents in the last ever. That Trump has canceled $300 million worth of aid to Pakistan. He said it's a place where U.S. flags are burned and they hate America and they're not doing anything to take action against these militant groups. Trump said, fine, do it on your own. You're not going to do all this with our money. And I'm okay with that. This is a good thing. Earthquake in California today. 4.8, I believe it was. Yeah, 4.8. About, what was it? About noon or so, I think. Doesn't look like there's a whole lot of damage or anything yet, but it was pretty significant. 4.8 is a good size shaker there. There was another shooting today in California. No, not at all. In Chicago. And I still marvel at the fact that they can have these shootings in Chicago as strict as the gun laws are there. But they do have their concealed carry laws, and it's just that there just didn't happen to be anybody around at the hospital today, where a police officer and two staff members at the hospital were shot. I don't know what their status is right now. They were in critical, all three of them were in critical condition. The shooter is dead. The cop got in a shootout with the bad guy here and managed to prevail, apparently, except he's in the hospital in critical condition. So we certainly hope everything works out all right for these people. But
it seems, of course, it's as predictable as the sun coming up. And anybody that thinks it's not is living in a fantasy land. But this, with the election and the gun control stuff that they're trying to get moving here, gun control measures, it's quite predictable that they're going to have these. Now, I don't know, this one could quite be classified as a mass shooting. It was an active shooter event. But the mass shootings are usually defined as having four or more people. Sometimes there's several definitions of what is a mass shooting, so call it whatever you want. But it seems like they have happened pretty regular here since Election Day. We've had what now? Had the one out at the bar in California where six cops were sitting in there with no guns. I think this is either three or four. It's a pretty high profile since the election.
So I think we're in trouble. I think we're in a lot of trouble as far as our gun rights are not. Of course, the rights will withstand, but our guns may not. So
the question remains here, and has always been there since forever. When is enough enough? I'll let you guys ponder on that here.
Okay, let's see here. We've got Yarnell. Yeah, Copper, that was it, the Yarnell fire. Was it 19 firefighters? That many? Wow. I thought it was only 9. Well, anyway. That is too bad. That's a big deal around here because a lot of those firefighters, you know, they were from right here in Sholo and over in Heber and Overgard and Pine Top and Linden. And a lot of them were, you know, Payson. A lot of them were local guys. And it's quite a deal for
all the people around here. There's a website, I don't know. There's a Facebook page, and I'm not sure if I can find it here real quick for you if you wanted to go and check that.
There's a Facebook page that kind of, but not really dedicated to those people. They talk about it a lot, but it's a
there's a lady who was a friend of mine. She knew a lot of those people. Her husband was actually, I think, on that crew or on a backup crew, you know, right behind them or something. He's a firefighter. And she started this Facebook page, and she keeps everybody well informed around here of what's going on, what the Forest Service is doing, what BLM's doing, and any fires, any weather developments, you know, anything that affects these fires at all. She is really on top of it. She spends a lot of time keeping this thing going. I don't remember what the name of it is. Something about Wildfire Arizona. There's two of them, and one of them is kind of a fake one because they kind of took her idea and took a lot of her stuff and actually a lot of her posts
and created this other page. And her being the big girl, put on her big girl panties and didn't say anything. She just let them go and started another one and didn't make a big deal of it. So I'm not going to look for it right now. If I find it, I'll mention it Wednesday.
But we've been getting some pretty chilly weather around here lately. We thought we were going to have, you know, we got 6 inches of snow, two or three weeks ago. And we said, okay, well, we're going to be in for it. And then all of a sudden today it was short sleeve weather again. Pretty chilly out there right now. What is it? It's, yeah, it's 27 out there right now. But it's been getting down, or had gotten down, into the teens a couple of times. And, so still not sure what our winter is going to look like. We've got a bunch of wood piled up out there. We need to get out and get split and cut up and put away. And that's one of, you know, these people have these pellet stoves around here, and I'm just weird. I guess I'm the same way about the logging thing. You know, it's just, I guess I'm just weird. I like splitting wood. I like to take a split maul and an axe and a wedge and go out there and split it. It's what I do. I like it. I wouldn't have a hydraulic log splitter if you gave it to me. I don't want one. I mean, you know, maybe I'll put it in the garage and keep it till I get too old to run a maul, but that's going to be a little while. I'm still doing fine. And so we get out there and do our lumberjack stuff every once in a while, and I'm kind of a little handicapped right now with my wrist all sore, but we're getting by with it. And hang on a minute, I got breaking news coming in. Stand by just a second. Let me see what this is. Okay. Oh, that was from Northwest Heavy. Computer wouldn't let him log into the chat room, but he's been listening and everything. So glad to see you in there, brother. I hope everything's going well for you up there. And by the way, we're going to have one more show. We're going to have one on Thanksgiving Eve. But I hope everyone from Amy and I, and I hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving and remembers what it's for. Now, Thanksgiving is one where it's one of the few holidays where the whole purpose of the holiday is not to get drunk. Yeah, there's drinking goes on with every holiday, of course. But Labor Day and Memorial Day and some of these other ones, the whole reason for them is for people to just get slopped. That's what they do. And Thanksgiving doesn't seem to be that way. It's never been that way as far back as I can remember anyway. It's a little more, a little bit more, what would you call it, solemn. And people actually think a little bit about what they have to be thankful for. And as bad as things are going, and as bad as this country is going to pot here, we're still the best country in the world, and we do have a hell of a lot to be thankful for. As much as we feel like we're losing our rights, and we are. I mean, we are losing a lot of our freedom here, and continue to. And it's going to get worse. But if you look at some of the other countries around us, look at the country immediately north of us and immediately south of us. Look at countries all over the world. Look at the huge Muslim invasion of Europe. Look at the fact that there was a lady, a Muslim woman, was just executed because her boss was raping her and she killed him. So she was executed. That's the kind of stuff that goes on in a lot of these Arab countries or Muslim countries, whatever you call them. So we still have a hell of a lot to be thankful for here. And I hope that we are blessed with good judgment and discipline, and there's going to come a time at some point, when I don't know, when Americans are going to say, okay, game up. It's time. You know, it may not be for another 100 years. I don't know what's going to happen here, but sooner or later, it's going to happen. So, with all that little cheery bit of news there, I think I'll just scoot over towards the door here and ease on out. And we'll see you guys Wednesday and on Thanksgiving Eve. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.